Well, I have two scripture lessons to read today. And the first one is in the New Testament. They're both New Testaments. But this one is Colossians 3, 1 through 4. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And our second reading, I believe, is the one that's going to go along with Mark's sermon, and it's from Mark. And it's Mark 10, 17 through 22. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You should not bear false witness. You should not defraud. And honor your mother and your father." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things since my youth." Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." And when the man heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. So the word of God.
Thank you, Dorothy.
Let us pray. O Lord God, we come before you this morning seeking understanding from your holy word. May your spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts. Amen. The pastor was new in town and was still trying to find his way around. On this particular day, he was trying to find where the post office was. He wandered around for a while, not having any luck, and then he spotted a child who was riding his bike down the street. And the pastor flagged the boy down and asked him if he could tell him where the post office was. And the boy looked at the pastor and smiled. "Sure. Just go straight down this street a couple of blocks and turn right. You'll see it as soon as you turn the corner." The pastor thanked the boy and then introduced himself. He said, "I am the new pastor in town. I'd like you to come to church on Sunday. I'll show you how to get to heaven." Unconvinced, the boy responded with a chuckle, saying, "Oh, come on. You can't even find the post office." Okay, maybe that was a lame joke, but I resisted the most common joke about asking for directions. You know, the one about how men never ask for directions? I mean, I could have asked you this. Do you know what would have happened if there had been three wise women rather than three wise men who visited the baby Jesus? If you haven't heard it, I'll tell you. They would have asked for directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, make a casserole, and they would have brought practical gifts. But I decided not to use that joke, so ignore that. During this season of Lent, I've decided to engage the question, what are you seeking? In our lesson from the Gospel of Mark this morning, we have the story of a rich young man who is seeking direction. Not travel directions, but life directions. In our passage, the man approaches Jesus and asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" The man is sincere in asking this question, for he seems to be truly concerned about where his spirit is heading. Jesus answered him by giving the young man the orthodox answers and pointing to parts of the Ten Commandments. Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't cheat, honor your father and mother. Jesus frames his directions in terms of the commandments that are focused on the neighbors. Jesus is telling this young seeker in a different way what he told others: love your neighbor as yourself. And this is good, straightforward stuff. And the man says that he follows all these things and has since he was young. Although he doesn't say this, you can tell in the tone of his response that he feels that something is still missing. As if to say, if that's all there was, I wouldn't have asked you the question. I know all that. He is doing all that he knows to do, and yet he feels that it isn't enough. And somehow he expected this famous teacher to give him more than just that. Jesus tells him he's doing everything right, and yet the young man feels there is something missing. He senses that he is wandering around and doesn't know where he's headed. It is in this sense that sometimes we think something is missing in our lives as well. And we get a spiritual nudging that we're not headed in the right direction. And I think this spiritual nudging is the way the Holy Spirit tells us that we need to assess our spiritual direction. In the early church, the monks referred to this feeling as acedia, which refers to a sense of spiritual dryness or apathy. By earthly standards, our lives might be doing just fine, but by spiritual standards, something is missing and we feel lost. For this young man, it was this spiritual prodding that led him to seek out Jesus for life direction instructions. So when Jesus gives him the rules, and he says that he follows all the rules, there is an emptiness in his answer, an emptiness that Jesus goes on to address. Jesus tells the young man that he must do one more thing. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. In this one sentence, Jesus gives the young man all the directions he will need, and he tells him where it will lead him. And what more could this young man want? And yet Mark tells us that the young man's countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had a great many possessions. He went away sorrowful. Here he had gotten the direction that he was seeking, a clear path to where he would find happiness, and yet Jesus tells us that he went away sorrowful. And as I read that, I wondered if that wasn't our story as well. How often do we receive helpful advice only to turn away from it? How often do we read the teachings of Jesus and leave it at that, just a reading and not an action? How often do we get the directions we seek only to find ourselves unwilling to follow them? Jesus looked at the young man who approached him and saw him, all of him. He saw his successes, his fine clothes, his expensive cologne, the rings on his finger. He also saw his shortcomings, his deficiencies, his blind spots. Jesus probes the hidden side of this young man, the part that he hides from God and maybe even himself. Jesus knows that if this young man is going to find his way, he must face the part of him that is holding him back. And that's the thing about seeking spiritual direction. We say we might want to go that way, but often we are reluctant to actually travel that path. When we come seeking direction from Jesus, He sees all of us, all that we are, even the parts we don't want seen. In order to bring us into greater wholeness, our blind and broken areas need to be identified and accepted. And this realization will often sting our ego. But if we are to follow the way that Jesus points us to, we cannot overlook the unhealthy areas of our life any more than a doctor can withhold the diagnosis of sickness. In the same dynamic, this is the same dynamic that occurs in 12-step processes. The disease must be identified and named before healing can occur. And Jesus names the barrier that this young man has. He has been coveting things. He has loved his possessions more than God. The man departs grieving because Jesus has pointed out the one spot in his spiritual makeup that most needed his attention. And he just wasn't able to absorb that. And this is a challenge for us as well. Jesus gives us direction in life, and yet we often fail to receive it. We fail to face that which holds us back, and we continue to wander rather than follow the path Jesus has set for us. The story of the rich young man ends here. We don't know what he did after he left Jesus. We don't know if he faced himself and took Jesus' advice and sold his possessions and gave his money away. We don't know if he went back to his regular life, wondering if there was some other way to achieve happiness. We just don't know. There's one thing we do know, however, and it is found in verse 21 of our passage. After Jesus asks the young man if he has kept all those commandments he listed, the young man tells him he has. And then in verse 21, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. I find this to be one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at this struggling young man and saw into his innermost soul, and there he saw a young man who wanted to do right, to be right, wanted to become right, and yet just couldn't. He couldn't let go of the things that were holding him back, the things he thought would give meaning to his life, but were in essence meaningless. And when Jesus saw what he saw in this young man, Mark tells us that he loved him. I like to think that sometime later this young man realized that Jesus did love him, truly and deeply loved him. I like to think that when he realized that Jesus loved him, he then was able to discover what he was seeking and to learn that his possessions and everything else in his life will become less meaningful. I like to think that's what happened, but we don't know. Just like I like to think that all of us will come to realize that Jesus loves us, truly and deeply loves us, and that when we realize that, all the things we think that are important in life will become meaningless, and we will find the direction that we seek. I like to think that. Amen.